where our second scripture reading, we turn to the place where God makes a covenant with Abraham in chapter 15 of the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 15. This is God's word to us. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, that is the Lord, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river of the Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgazites and the Jebusites. Thus far, God's precious word to us this morning. Dear congregation, have you ever wondered what is happening in Genesis 15, the chapter that we read together? Abram called to cut those animals into pieces, and then he's waiting. And what's happening? The birds start to come down, and he chases those birds away, and later on he falls asleep. And then something mysterious happens, children. Something mysterious. What is it? There's an oven and a torch that go through these pieces of dead animals? What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, our text is very clear about it, and I mentioned it before already in Genesis 15, verse 18, the first part. It says, In the same day the Lord made covenant with Abraham. So here God is making covenant with Abraham. And when we think about covenant, we think about baptism, as we have just witnessed. And we always sing that beautiful psalter at the end. don't we? We sang it together. Jehovah's truth shall stand forever. His covenant bonds he will not sever. The word of grace which he commands to 1,000 generations stands. The covenant made in days of old with Abram, he doth uphold. That's what we sang, right, children? That's what we think about when baptism takes place. Covenant and baptism and promises that all belongs together. So the big question is for us now is that we are going to consider with the Lord's help is what is God saying to Abraham? And through Abram and through this covenant that we consider together to us this morning. Well, we are going to consider that under the theme, Promised to His Own Hurt. First, we look at that Abram needs to prepare those pieces. Second, we will see how they pass through the pieces. And then, how we can profit. What are we to learn from this? So let me set the context as we think about the preparing the pieces. What is happening? Well, in the chapter before, in Genesis 14, Abram has fearlessly been fighting Kedar Laomer, a powerful king. He was fearless. But just the next chapter, we don't know how long was in between those chapters. Doesn't make it very clear about that. But soon after, we can say, God has to come to Abram and has to say something. Fear not, Abraham. Abram was fearful for some reason. So there you go. Fearful, fearless in chapter 14 and fearful in chapter 15. And God needs to come. And when he speaks, it's always with a reason. He knows the fears of his people. Abram, fear not, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. That's still how it is in the lives of God's people. One moment we can be strong, we can feel strong and fearless in the power of the Lord, and the next moment we can feel fearful, and we need to be encouraged like Abram needs to be encouraged here in this first verse. That God says to Abram, I will protect you, Abram. That's what he says also to his people. I will be your greatest reward, whatever comes in life, whatever you are fearful for. Trust me, I will go with you every step of the way. But as we see in this chapter, is that Abram is still in doubt. Because then he starts asking these questions about the son. God had promised him a son. Ultimately, we know that's Isaac. But God had not fulfilled it yet. And God gives him that moment when he steps outside and looks at the stars. We as a congregation hope to think about that this afternoon. But then we come to verses 7 and 8. What do we see there? There, Abram is now assured of the promise again of his son. But God also promised the land, didn't he? And now then, he is still asking questions about the land. Verse 8, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit the land? How can I be sure? I know the promise, yes. I know that God said, but I can't see the fulfillment. And that's the difficulty. That's what Abram struggles with. Do you know that struggle? How can I know? This is the struggle that can go with true and saving faith. Faith doesn't doubt, but the believer does. The believer does. That's what we see here with Abram, who is called the father of the faithful. But perhaps you say, well, what is the difference between Abram and Zechariah? Didn't he get a similar promise and didn't he respond as much with, how can this be? Well, the Lord knows the heart. He sees our hearts. Two people can say the same thing, ask the same question to the Lord, and it seems that Zechariah at that moment was not trusting in the Lord. His life was a life of trust, but there he was faithless at that moment. And God punishes that at that time. But here Abram is just simply weak in faith. And he asks, Lord, how shall it be? And if you know such weaknesses in your own life, and you are fearful, and you maybe say, well, the promises of God, I know about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they seem so unbelievable, so too good to be true, that Christ would die for my sin. Or if you fear and you wonder, how is this possible when I see in my life still so much sin? How is it possible that he can be gracious unto me? I'm so often doubting and struggling to believe the word of God. Then God comes with his promises, and he comes and says, in other words, and he loves to assure his people and says, don't fear, trust me. When you feel unworthy of God's grace, and we all are, but we all not all are aware of it in the way we should, we may be assured when we ask these honest questions to the Lord, how shall this be? How can this be? You may come and pour out your heart before him and say, Lord, help me. Help me to trust. Show me. He loves to hear the cries of his people. It's not true faith that never, ever doubts. It's the believer that doubts. It's not true faith, not necessarily that true faith is always perfectly assured and holds on and knows how to hold on. No, faith is a gift of God. And we are still on this side of the grave, times that we are struggling, and yet Abram is called the father of the faithful, the father of the believers. Now, what was God's answer to Abram's struggles? The covenant. The covenant. He made a covenant. What is a covenant, children? Do you know what a covenant is? It's when people, for instance, get married, they make a covenant. All these parents have made a covenant. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will care for you. I will be with you till life, till death does part. That's a covenant. Right? Or when someone buys a house, they have a piece of papers and it says, this I will do and that will I do, and I will hold myself to these things. I will pay for this house and all that. And you sign it with your signature. That's a covenant. It's a contract. Something similar is happening here. God makes a covenant to bring Abram to a greater assurance of the truthfulness of his promises. That these promises are real and true, and these promises can be trusted. And that's what we have here in this unusual scene before us. These pieces, the birds and the chasing away and the torch and the oven and all that. Verses 9 through 10, then we hear what Abram needs to do. Children, he needs to take a heifer, which is a young cow, before she has had her first calf. That's a heifer, 3 years old. 3 years old. A female goat, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And the bigger animals he needs to cut, and then he needs to place them over against each other, these half pieces of these animals. And he needs to make, as it were, a path with them. And the whole animals, the birds, also there. Can you see it before you? There he has. There we have this path in blood. In blood. He needs to make this together. And in those days, they would walk together through this path. And why, we will see in a little bit. Can you see it before you? Abram there is in front of his tent, and he has done this, what the Lord has said, what he needed to do in the desert somewhere, or maybe somewhere in Canaan. And there is this older man. And what happens? He has these animals, and you know, if you know a little bit about vultures, they smell from a long distance. There's something to eat. So what do you see? There are these carcasses, there is this blood, there's these animals, and there they come. They swoop down to feast upon this covenant, or this sacrifice, or this covenant which God is making. And children, can you imagine this Abram, this older man, is trying to very busy to chase them away, because no one is showing up. It seems that when he needed to make this covenant, it was somewhere in the morning, and we see that the day is passing by. What does it mean that these animals come? These birds come. These are a picture of the enemies. These are the picture of forces outside of us who want to pick away on our devotion on the Lord, on our sacrifices, on our service of the Lord. That's the picture. Forces from outside. Evil forces. Don't we have these evil forces who want to destroy faith, who want to destroy the family, when we are trying to care for the family these days? And so it can be with us that we are trying to do our utmost to chase these evil forces away. Or maybe you have these evil forces are struggling with your heart, fighting for its devotion. And you're trying to chase this all away. The evil influence, the evil influences of the world, the evil influences of the ideas that are out there. Destructive ideas. Like unclean birds, they come and try to attack truth, the family, the church, trying to swoop down and, if possible, eat it. And now what can we do? We can try to do our utmost to ward them off and to chase them away. And we can do that for our children, trying to save our children and protect us from every evil way. And certainly we have a responsibility, because parents, you just made vows that you would teach them about God and His covenant. But what do we need to learn? What is the most important lesson that we need to learn first? When we look at Abram, who is chasing away these birds, these unclean birds. These unclean birds which are in the world, it seems, more than ever before. Let us not focus too much on the unclean birds, but let us focus on what God says and what God has done. What do we learn? We need to keep in mind that we can never, ever save our own children. Neither do we need to. Never, ever save them by our own efforts, even. And by just doing, maybe, just doing the right thing. If I do it like this, then we can. And God doesn't want us either. God must come and do it. God must change their hearts. God must protect them. He must apply these covenant promises by the power of His Holy Spirit. And Abram had to wait for it. That's what we see here. He's waiting and trying to chase away those animals. He had to wait till God comes and shows up. Perhaps there are parents who painfully aware, my son, my daughter, needs to be saved. And seems like the Lord is not doing it. I say it in love. Have we learned this lesson? It is God's work. I need to rest in what He does. I need to wait for Him to show up and do what I never can do for my child. Expect it from Him. Or are we maybe still more like Abram, trying to chase away the birds? That's never going to do it. We can't in any way keep our devotion and sacrifices perfectly pure. We are sinners, as parents too. God needs to come and God needs to do it for us. Do you see that, children? After a day of chasing these birds, Abram is just pure exhausted. And there he falls asleep, exhausted. It teaches us this lesson. We are utterly unable to please God with our sacrifices and with our own efforts. God must enter with us in covenant, and He must do what we can never do for ourselves nor for our children. Isn't that what Psalm 127 is all about? When it speaks about building a house, a family, a city, God must guard the city, otherwise the laborers, they will just do everything in vain. It's not try harder, do better, be a better person. No. Psalm 127 verse 2 says it like this: it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat bread of sorrows, for He giveth His beloved sleep. And there you see, it's God's grace that he puts Abram to sleep. Have we learned to rest? Have we learned to sleep and trust God, who never slumbers and never sleeps? His eyes are always open. He can do it. Or are there parents, perhaps, that lay awake about your children? About your children. Tired right out, perhaps, and not being able to sleep. Have you, I say it in love, have you laid your child in the hands of the Lord? Lord, do it. Do it. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He is your keeper. He is the shade upon your right hand. You're going in and you're coming out from this time forth forevermore. He doesn't need us to save our children. But He does want to use us when we have learned this lesson first. Or maybe need to learn it again and again and again. Trust me. Trust my power. I can do it. Trust my grace. Trust my promises. Trust my word. Now what happens when Abram is asleep? Let's look at that secondly, passing through the pieces. Children, what happens there in that dark night? The sun sets, is it going down? And what happens? Verse 17, and it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamb that passed between those pieces. What do we see there? What's happening with those pieces? That path in blood. There's first a furnace, a burning oven, a smoking burning oven, a fire pot that melters of gold and silver would use, a refining pot. And secondly, there is this torch, a burning lamp, maybe something like a pillar of light. What is that furnace all about? The furnace, well, when we read on in verses 13 and 14, there we see that God is going to refine his people later in Egypt through afflictions and oppression. And that same word of furnace is used later after they've come out of Egypt in Deuteronomy 4, verse 20, where the Lord says, "But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt." You see that? That's a picture of oppression. Oppression. A furnace. And that's not a strange thing for the church. Oppression. What do we think of Peter when he said, "Think it not strange, beloved, concerning the fire trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice in so much you are partakers of Christ's sufferings." Fiery trial, that's awaiting for Abraham and for his people. And then there's this other dark note of judgment. God says, basically, "Well, you were worried about the land, Abram, right? Well, look at the land. There are still these Amorites there, and their iniquity is not yet full. But when it is full, I will judge them perfectly. I will take care of that." You see that? A smoky oven. Go through the pieces. God says, "I keep my promises, yes, even through the fires of trials and oppression and everything." Smoky oven. And the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Can you make the? Can you see the how applicable it is for today? I'm not a prophet. But when you look around, what are we going to see if God does not forbid? We are going to see more oppression. And we are going to see that one day the iniquity of sinners is full, and then he will bring to the promised land forever tribulation before salvation. That's the pattern. Maybe you say, "Well, that's hardly a comfort to Abram, is it?" Yes, it is. This is comforting. That God will stand with his people, and that he knows about their trials, about those fiery furnace, the fiery furnace, that he knows what they go through, and that one day the enemies of God's people will be forever justly defeated. Righteousness, truth, and justice are our hope, and it is God who will administer them in the last day. What a promise God gave to Abram. "I will bless you, bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you." And that's not all. There's more comfort. Because, children, remember, we had this smoky, fiery burning oven, but there was also this torch that went through those pieces. Kind of a pillar of fire, a pillar of light and glory. Later on, there would be this burning bush, fire, light, glory. This is the glory of God that appears to his people and goes through the pieces. While there are these purifying fires of persecution and difficulties and trials, what is God saying? "But wait a moment, I am there as well. I am there with you. I'm with my people there. I will keep my covenant. I will build my church," Jesus Christ said, "and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Never, ever. He who guides through dangers all, what would harm? He will control. He will control." That fire, that torch. Doesn't that remind us of Jesus Christ? I am the light of the world. And the light is always stronger than the darkness. He conquers sin, death, hell, Satan, and he sustains through trials and purification. That's how God keeps his covenant. Isn't that comforting? Now look at this nightly scene again. There's Abram. He's asleep. And who is going through the pieces? Abram, children? Is Abram going to walk? What do you think would happen if he would walk through those pieces? What do you think? He would have to be consumed by the fire if he walks together with God, who is a consuming fire, the Bible tells us. Too holy. Killed at the spot. Who is going then? God himself goes through the pieces, through this path of blood. Why is that so comforting? Because those two people who were making a covenant, they were saying if they would walk together through that path of blood, would be saying, those pieces here, if I don't keep my promises, I may be cut into pieces like that. You may do that to me. That's the promise. If I fail to uphold the covenant, I may call, you may curse me, and I call a curse upon myself like these dead animals I will be. So there's the comfort. What is Abram doing? He's just standing by, inactive. Or no, he's sleeping even. But doesn't that remind us of those words, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God is teaching Abraham and us what? When you don't keep the covenant, when I don't keep the covenant, then God says to us, I will keep the covenant. Even when it means death. I promise to do it for you. This is my one-sided covenant obligation. I do it. This is pure mercy, pure grace. And you see, we learn here that God is always first. That's what we do with baptism as well. When we baptize children, it's not like we say, okay, I choose for Jesus. No, God comes to us, and he is always first. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Christ was the one who walked through those pieces, through this path of blood. Christ took upon himself this curse on Golgotha. Christ became like those pieces as he dies in the place of sinners. Light of the world, by darkness slain. He went through the fires of the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Can you imagine? We can't even begin to fathom. And that's how he establishes the covenant with Abram and his children and with believers and their children. And that's not all. God alone goes through these pieces. He alone can fulfill the covenant obligations. Think about it. The perfect God-man, representing God and representing man. Jesus Christ, he went through those pieces by living a perfect life on our behalf, on the behalf of sinners who believe and trust in him. And he was cut into pieces by God himself, by God's wrath. He made him a curse on Golgotha. And that's how God gets the glory of salvation. We stand there. We lie there like Abraham. But these promises are life-changing. And we are called to trust them for us personally as parents and for our children. What a glorious moment must that have been when Abram saw it with the eyes of faith in his life. The Lord will be with me through everything. He can save covenant breakers like me. He dealt with a broken covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the new covenant in my blood, Jesus said. You see, here's the covenant being established in chapter 15. But then there's again that Abram struggles to believe. Chapter 17. He needs more assurance. And maybe that's how you sometimes feel at times too. I need more assurance. Here's the basis here in chapter 15. And this is what God does, as it were, also in baptism. He comes a little closer still. He says, yes, I passed through the pieces, but now you need to cut off a piece of your own body, Abraham. And you need to see that blood. I want to bring it very close to you. There's the covenant of circumcision. A confirmation of what happens here in chapter 15, there in chapter 17. And what he does also for sinners in baptism, he brings it very close. He puts the water upon our own bodies. And with that come responsibilities. Privileges bring responsibilities. Chapter 18, he says about Abram, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abram that which he has spoken of. Do you see, if Abram's heart is full with the love of God in Christ Jesus, that he keeps the covenant from his side, then God says, I know what will happen. He will instruct his children. It happens. It will happen. I trust he will do it. You see, God calls us to believe the promises of God. And the work of Christ, it is finished. It is finished. And that's what we are assured of by baptism. That he can wash away all our sins. His sufferings is called the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. A baptism of suffering. He went through those pieces. And when we, by the grace of God, through the power of the Spirit, receive that with faith, we say, I am a covenant breaker, but God is faithful. God did it in his own blood, in Jesus Christ. He swears this to his own hurt, even to the point of death. That's how much he loves me. And he was willing to suffer. We love him because he loved us first, the Bible tells us. He's always first. Now let us review and go over these points one more time, very briefly, as we think about this. How can we profit from these pieces? Never forget, dear parents and dear congregation, that God is always first. He is an eternity ahead of us. Christ died while we were yet sinners. We can try to chase those birds away, and we can tire ourselves right out. We can try to do it all in our own efforts, in our own strength. But that's where we go when we don't have the hope in Jesus Christ. But then you will have to go through those pieces on your own, and God is a consuming fire. So don't. Trust Him. God is first. He comes to us in baptism. He comes to us through the gospel, through the preaching of the word. And His second, then, the second lesson is His promises are always faithful. His covenant mercies are faithful. When you struggle for your children, then look to those covenant promises. Plead them on behalf of your children. God says, I can do it. I can do it. And yes, we affirm solidly that God is sovereign, and the Bible teaches us very clearly that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. We confirm election. But have we learned that we can never ever save our children, and that as long as there is breath in them, there is hope for them because of God and His ability and His power? He's faithful. And when you are here this morning and you struggle with assurance of faith, then I say to you, look, Jesus went through the pieces and He was cut asunder by the wrath of God through that path of blood. And there from Golgotha we hear, it is finished. And God says to us this morning, receive this with faith. He calls us. When we think about baptism, this is a sign, it's a picture. I wash away your sins with my pure and holy blood. And it's an assurance, a seal. Focus on the finished work of Christ. Focus there. And there alone. That's the third lesson. God is first. God is faithful. Improve on your baptism by looking in faith. And as you embrace those covenant promises forth, now God can talk to you about new obedience. New obedience to you and me. Not to earn, but out of love. With privileges come responsibilities. God says to Abram, I know. You will do it. You will do it. I know He will instruct. And so, dear parents, as you bring up your children, let this be your hope, and this your be trust in the covenant promises of the Lord. And you know what they need to see? They need to see that you struggle with the issues of faith. That you fight against them. That you believe the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood. Even when you feel unbelief, even when you feel a temptation to worldliness or temptation to idolatry or covetousness or whatever you struggle with, live out of His mercy, His grace. Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Trust these promises. Not out of law. Not out of I need a few more rules. No, those rules need to come from a heart that has seen love. Unconditional love. No better than unconditional love, because God never leaves us in our sins. He sanctifies us. He sanctifies us. He purifies His people. Remember the oven. He purifies them. It's love. I chasten every son whom I love. It's not pleasant. But I do it because I love. I hate unholiness in you. And you need to become like Christ, even when you suffer. Even when you suffer. And that brings us to the last thing here, five. The last lesson, how can we profit from the pieces? If you understand this, then the only thing that remains is giving praise and thanks and adoration to the Lord. Because all glory goes to God. He works it in us. And He works it out. And we work it out in His power. By the power of the Holy Spirit. He keeps His promises, even to His own hurt. Why did I say that? Why was this sermon called Promised Even to His Own Hurt? Well, this is a phrase that we see from Psalm 15 that talks about who can enter in that most glorious holy place where God is being worshipped forever and ever. Who can? Well, the one with clean hands and a pure heart and without sin, basically. And the one who swears to his own hurt and changes not, doesn't come back on his promises. Beloved, that's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ right there. He swears to his own hurt and he doesn't come back on those promises. That's what God did in Christ Jesus. And when we by faith shelter in Him, we are protected. As He shelters us in Him. And that, beloved, is the marvel of Golgotha, of salvation. That's the marvel of this covenant made with Abraham. Is it marvelous in your eyes? Then trust God. Trust Him. He still gives faith. He still calls us to trust Him, no matter what. Amen.